Today we embark upon the final message in this dissertation, The Glorious Body of Christ, the Church. Let us turn to our base scripture that we started off some 52 messages ago. Today is message number 52. That is found in the third chapter, Galatians. You can Gavin, our designated reader. Brother Deacon, I want you to start in the 25th verse this morning. Read down through the 29th. Then we shall give our final summation. All of these glorious nuggets that we have dug out and brought forth. We shall also this morning state some doctrinal positions that we believe and we have confidence that the scripture, amen, conveys them. Even though they may be antithetical to what is traditionally taught, we dare to speak and follow the dictates of the scriptures. All right, everyone that has Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, 25, and verse 25 this morning. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Brother Dick can read that. And what I want you to do also, I want you to read from the King James. And then after that, we shall read from the Greek text. Now, the rest of the books are on the way. Hopefully, when Brother Dwayne gets it this afternoon, we will get the rest of the books. Everyone will have a book, a Greek Bible. Not everyone, but everyone that has ordered one will have one, a Greek Bible. Amen. We're determined to get to the bottom of this.
Bottom of it. Mm-hmm.
And to do that, every piece of documentation that is available to us, we will utilize it. Mm-hmm. Amen. Everything, amen, that is truthfully available to us, I should say. We will utilize it. Amen. All right. Everyone that has the 25th verse of the third chapter of Galatians, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Read.
From the King James.
Uh-huh.
But after that faith is come,
mm-hmm.
we are no longer under a schoolmaster.
Now, see, what he is saying there, and you must go back up, and you notice that starts with the conjunction,
mm-hmm.
but,
mm-hmm.
and that is a strong adversative conjunction that gives contrast of where we are now in relation to where we were. And here Paul is speaking of manifestation-wise,
mm-hmm.
or knowledge-wise, mm-hmm. where we are now. What is the message now?
All right.
Amen. Not what was the message in Noah's day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good message,
yes.
because it saved him,
yes.
amen, from destruction.
Mm-hmm.
But oh, we have much more enlightenment
more.
Than what Noah had.
More.
All right. And what even Moses had. And even what the disciples that walked with Jesus say.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, isn't that something?
Hallelujah.
My Lord, it is in this day, in this time, under this dispensation, the dispensation of grace, that God has given the enlightenment and the understanding. He has pulled back the complete covers that we are able to view His eternal work.
That's right.
The essence of where He actualized everything by decree, amen. And we're able to see the entire gamut of God's operation. Oh, He must really love us.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. To give us this enlightenment. But now, and so after faith of the essence of the understanding of the faithfulness of Christ is come, we're no longer under the schoolmaster. We're not under the law. We're not under, amen, the Mosaic covenants and those writings. And while, amen, that was much of value there, amen, we have graduated. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Read.
Verse 26 from the King James.
Mm-hmm.
For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
27. For as many of you as have been baptized
and
into Christ.
Have understood from our writings, from our study, and from looking into the essence of what this word baptizo means, we understand that this is spiritual. This is not a ceremony. You didn't get into the body through a ceremony. And this is not what reference is made to here, a ceremony. Amen. This is all eternal work. When you look at the tenses here, it is all aorist, past complete actions. Amen. Read.
As many as have been baptized into Christ,
mm-hmm,
have put on Christ.
Uh-huh.
There is neither Jew nor Greek.
It's not about manifestations. That's where you get into Jew and Greek and keep reading.
There is neither bond nor free.
Mm-hmm.
There is neither male nor female.
This is all manifestations dealing anthropomorphic with man's relationship to man. Amen. None of this is in the body of Christ. Because when you were positioned in there as a son position, a placement, amen, this was before there was any male or female. Oh, y'all don't hear me this morning. In eternity. Read.
For ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And if ye be Christ,
mm-hmm,
then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
In Christ, you notice here, that's italicized in there. If you be Christ, if you be, you be, amen. Those who, but Paul is saying, though he's not vouching for anybody's salvation, he's saying those who are in Christ.
Yes.
Those who are in Christ, amen. And here this Abraham's seed is not in reference to the Abrahamic promise. We've gone through that. Amen. Go back up, contextualize. You see in the 14th verse, amen, he is speaking about the promise of the Spirit through faithfulness.
Uh-huh.
That is the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Amen. Which is the essence of why you are saved. Which is the only reason why you are saved. Amen. So we are heirs according what?
According to promise.
To promise, the promise which is in essence to Christ procuring,
yes,
our salvation,
yes,
in eternity.
All right.
Oh my God, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You were made, you were created. Hallelujah. The new man is created according to the specification of this promise.
That's right.
Woo, hallelujah. Doesn't that blow your mind?
Yes.
Huh? Yes. Doesn't that really put this thing in a different light?
Yes.
And shows God, amen. Oh, hallelujah. In his magnificent work of grace. In hallelujah. In saving us before we ever made us.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. My God, doesn't that do something to you?
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now, we have for the last, as I've said, year or so, taking you through several scriptures as we have sought to convey unto you what it means to be in the church and what the church really is.
Mm-hmm.
It is more than the organization, amen, that you belong to.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Not that it's not a bad organization that you belong
All
to.
Right.
Anyone's organization, amen, you know, as it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But when you said church ecclesia, it's to call out ones. Mm-hmm. Amen. When were you called out? All you were called out in eternity. Before there was ever a Grace Gospel Church.
All right.
Let's go back further. Before you were born. Let's go back further. Before creation. You were chosen in Him. Elected in Him. You were sanctified. You were glorified. You were placed in the body of Christ in eternity. Before time. Information you need to carry around with you.
Woo, come on here.
Cause, amen, as you walk through life,
yes,
you're going to be confronted with many things.
Yes.
Amen. And the question is, it's not, is something going to go wrong,
mm-hmm,
but it is when something goes wrong.
That's right.
And this is the information that we've sought. And we've went to Galatians. As he has just read and went through the litany of verses there, amen, and we dug out very, very important information,
yes,
amen. We went into 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and from it we're able to glean, amen, that this body is spiritual, not physical.
That's right.
And even to the end, we are instructed not to even view Jesus Christ,
yes,
in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But as head of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
So we don't view Jesus Christ physically. We view Him spiritually.
Yeah.
And it tops off by telling us, amen, that we who are in Christ, and the reason you are in Christ is because you were in Christ before the foundation of the world. That new creation, new means new. Oh my God. New means first. New means before.
Glory.
You are what you were in eternity. Amen. Which overshadowed us. What you are, amen, manifestation wise, in time.
Yes.
We have a tendency to put the emphasis on time,
right,
as though the happenings are in time. But my friends, the happenings are actualized by decree.
Mm-hmm.
And all the thing that's going on in time,
mm-hmm,
is that which is being manifested according to the decree.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. And so, from this, we were able to draw the essence of the truth concerning who we are in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And then we went into the essence of Ephesians, because we had to clarify. And hopefully we understand the difference now between the new man and old man. And that's a real problem. And this is why we put such a low appraisal, amen, on assessment on the new man and on the body of Christ. And on what being saved means. Because we have mistaken the old man for the new man. The old man, amen, renovated, or the old man, amen, in any form, amen, of being basically physically disciplined is not the new man. Amen. The new man is not the old man reformed. Amen. The new man is not the old man in any sense. And this is what the scripture teaches us. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. So when we look at this term, turn on a new, amen. Oh, hallelujah. The, amen. That which is, in one sense, an individual believer in Christ, but in the essence of it, amen, the bottom line is that you were placed in Christ in eternity. Amen. You are manifested in testimony, but you encapsulated in depraved human flesh, the old man, in time. Amen. And thank God, amen, it is not about the old man in time. The old man in time cannot, amen, do the things of God, or know the things of God, or please God. You don't hear me this morning. The old man, not the new man. All right. So from that, we were able to glean all of these glorious truths. And then we went into some other aspects of Ephesians in chapter 2. And we dealt with the formation of the church. And here Paul draws a line of distinction between the commonwealth of Israel and the body of Christ. Oh, I wish the covenant theologians would just take time and read this. Amen. And really properly study this. Amen. New means new. He broke down the wall of partition and made something, amen, that was neither originally Gentile, but nor was it originally Jewish. Amen. New. Amen. And he made that of the two. He made the two into one that was new. Amen. And this is figurative language pointing to the essence of the eternal work of God. There are two placement plans, but there's only one way to be saved. That is through the blood of Jesus. And so, this body, unheard of in the prior economists, this body unheard of by Adam, this body unheard of by Noah, this body unheard of by Abraham, this body unheard of, amen, oh my God, by Moses, this body unheard of by the disciples. It is with a man named Paul, amen, who was originally Saul, amen, was knocked off of his beast and brought to his knees, a rabble, a blasphemer, and a murderer. Woo, hallelujah. This is grace in action, that God revealed to him that which he had kept secret, and that is the eternal, everlasting workings of God actualized in his decree. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this should give us, amen, some understanding. We went into Colossians, if you remember, amen, because it was it was very, very, very necessary for us to understand who Jesus is. Many of us do not know and have the understanding of who Jesus is. Amen. Many of us look at him as only the lowly Nazarene who walked the dust to show us those who fed. And he did all of that. The thousands, amen, with the fish and the barley loaves, and healed the sick, cast out devils. Amen. Oh, man. Oh, my God. Gave, amen, sight to the blind, to heal the lame, and all of these things. And that's glorious. But here, amen, God discloses who Jesus is. Amen. All things are by him and for him and to him. Amen. It is him. Not till we get to the point that we understand that it's not just about him, it's all about him. Oh, my God. Everything, amen, is concentrated on him. Amen. And we see him, hallelujah, as the God. In the essence of who the Godhead is, that he, amen, is the head of the body, so that you will know that you have the nature of God. Hey, oh, no, don't look at me now, and I'm not going to look at you now. We have the nature of God. The new man. tells us how we got there. You're there because he placed you there. You were placed. You were baptized. Amen. You, amen, were consigned and put into the essence of the new man in Christ and given 100% the nature of God before you ever manifestly dwell in the flesh of Adam. Now, I know that's antithetical because you're taught, and we're going to deal with this in a few minutes as we state our doctrinal positions. We have been taught that the day you believe, God puts you in the body. The problem with that is we have the aorist tense, which is a past completed action. And everything the scripture talks about in this respect is in the past. Amen. I know the King James and many of the other translations, I'm not just picking on the King James, they use the present tense, amen, but when you get to the grammar, amen, and the original text, it is the aorist tense, or the perfect tense, amen. It is the aorist tense, the past completed action, or the perfect tense, a past completed action with ongoing results. And so it's not about what God is doing. It's all about what he has already done. It's a done deal. Everybody say it's a done deal. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody should just praise him for that this morning. Just give him, oh, hallelujah. Isn't that something? Hey, hallelujah. Glory. And so we move through Colossians and there are many other places we could have gone. Amen. Explicating those things that God has done. Why did he do it? Amen. Because it pleased him to do it. God was pleased. I don't see how, and I speak for myself. Oh my God, hallelujah. When I look at the bonehead things that I do sometimes, amen. But it is not about me. It pleased him. He didn't even save me to please me. He saved me to please himself. You too. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. To the end that all the fullness dwell in him and all that is attributed to him, amen, has been imputed unto us.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Isn't that something? Yeah. Isn't that something? Oh, my God. So we were able to go through these verses and break them down, amen, to the essence of what their conveyances were. We see that we are full in him, and everything that we are to be, we are already, amen. Don't look at these bodies. These bodies are going to be destroyed. Amen. But look at the essence of who you are from the beginning. And this is what buried in baptism really means. Hallelujah, huh? Because it says you were, and that trips many up when they read, amen, Colossians 2 and 12, and around the 6th chapter of Romans 4, 5, 6, and 7, we started talking about, especially when you started speaking of in the aorist tense, and you say, buried, were buried with him. Past completed action. Amen. You were buried. And when you see that were buried, amen, oh my God, there's only one way to point back to when that really occurred.
Yeah.
And that's in the eternal realm. And so we were able to see all of these things. Oh my God, look at that clock. She's beating me up. We are able to say that we are alive together with him. Amen. We are because we were.
Right.
We were always. Amen. This quicken is actually the quickening of your spirit to the point of revelation, of knowing, of understanding. You are not saved the day you believe or understand. The day you believe, and we'll come up with this in a moment, the day that you believe is the day that your salvation was revealed to you, not the day that you were saved. is the day that you found out you were saved.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. So, those of us who dwell comprehensively in this knowledge, we are privileged to abide in the eternal realm. Amen. This is what we have coined an election union. An election union. Amen. He saved you. He chose you. You're not united to him by his choice. It is a representative one. Amen. That is attributed to the elect before the foundation of the creation of the world.
Yeah.
Amen. We reside in Christ. Amen. To the end that we can be confident that we were made and we were created to that end according to the specifications of God, of what he had laid out before he ever made us. Now, counting of this would be contained in that which God reckoned in eternity, exclusively in him, by him, from him, because of him. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. All spiritual blessing when he has blessed us, and likewise that we are in him by actual union, a representative of the declarations of his decree. Understand, those of us, we were one in Christ before the world was. There is only one mode of union, manifestation-wise. That's where we are now. Amen. It is in the essence of a manifestation that Jesus humanly descended upon the earth in clothed in flesh, amen, to do that with to rather show that, amen, by revelation what he had done in eternity. So the work of Calvary is a reflector of what he did in eternity. Oh my God. Hence, there is no other means of union. And this is the only reason we're in Christ this morning, by his undertaking for us in eternity. Oh my God. So those of us who that are in him, we abide exclusively, I say exclusively, by his active representation manifested on earth, but more important, originally in the eternal sphere in the heavens, as we reference Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, and there is what it is talked about. There is descriptively, and I'm moving pretty fast, amen, here. There is descriptively a threefold union with Christ, of which the first is relative, whereby we as members of the body of Christ are said to be his, and he, amen, ours. Oh, my God. This is arrangement that anthropomorphically is likened as to the husband, oh, my God, to the church as Christ is the husband operating, amen, as the head, amen, and the essence of the church to the wife. And thus, the union is a relationship in the mode of a marriage. But this is where the similarity ends. Oh, my God. In a natural union, the husband may be in one place and the wife in another. So as to disrupt the communication between him. My wife happened to be away today. Amen. There's not too much communication we can do until she gets back. But the union between Christ and the church is absolutely cohesive in that it transcends the manifestation, and follow this closely, of the perceived earthly relation. That it depicts Christ as sitting in the heavenly sphere on the right hand of God, while we are yet abiding here in earth. But that's manifestation. Actually, action, spiritually, eternally, amen, we are in here now. Not going to be. We're on our way to heaven. Oh, William, now! Now! The communication is there now! With the new man! The communication has never been broken. It never can be broken. There's no such thing, amen, as saved and then lost. Ooh, hallelujah. For this union is an eternal union. Follow me now. It is in this vein that some of God's people, and I hope that is not the case of those who sit under this ministry. Hear me very well. Because some view him in heaven and we on earth, we think of it in the light as we have just said. But there is no separation. You are in Christ right now. The new man, nothing wrong with him. We didn't. We went through this as we were exegeting these verses of Scripture. But you are in him. There is no separation. The new man, he is created in righteousness and holiness that belong to the truth. He is there now. He never left. Our problem is that we're in the capsule of time. And therefore we're not able to relate to eternal things. You're not on your way to be a new man that is to be created. The new man, amen, according to the pattern of Christ, the firstborn, and we have that prefix, pro, meaning before, amen, are before born. So the new man actually existed before the old man. And he has never gone anywhere. So that communication is there. Long verse, nothing can disrupt. Adam is on his way out. Adam shall be severed, cut off, eliminated. But that's not you. That's not you. When you die, so we don't talk about death. When you die, that's a carcass. That is not you. That's the replica of Adam on his way back to the dust.
Come on with it.
To be absent from the body. Yeah. To be present with the Lord. Oh. That's what it means to be a member of the body of Christ. But this is strong men of God's people. And you misunderstand. And because of this, they misapply the doctrine of regeneration. And it is the doctrine of regeneration that we shall go to our next mode of ministry shall be the scripture doctrine. The scripture doctrine. The scripture teaching of regeneration. Now the reason this thing is all messed up is chiefly because we have assigned enactment to manifestation in time, and our doctrine of thinking is that Christ first apprehends believers and then he sends his spirit to change their nature all in time. Or that he first changes the nature, then he saves them. Both of those arguments don't hold water when you bring in the eternal aspect of things. In time, it's all manifestation. Follow me here. It is the status of our regenerated state that qualifies us to possess the right of all the privileges of salvation. It is by Christ's nature that we were fashioned in the new creation, thus engendering his spirit, faith, holiness, and the like. It is through our union with him and the perfect holiness of his nature to whom we have been united, and we partake of the privileges of the covenant of grace. Hence, it is by the following principles that we are in Christ. Follow me now. Number one, God's eternal decree has nothing to do with us. Number two, the union of this eternal compact in which Christ is constituted as head for all of us who were chosen in him. So all the worth, the value, the merit, the reason, everything points to the head. Number three, a true union is one in which every member is only passive. You didn't do anything to get into the body of Christ. Somebody say, you mean you all teach that you don't have to do anything to be saved? How could you participate in something that occurred before you were ever created? Passive. So, salvation is not something you get. Salvation is something you receive. You don't, amen, go out and do something to get saved. What does passive mean? It means the action is done to you. So all of us who are saved and united in him, we are amalgamated and infused with the new creation. The new creation is not about you or me. It is about him. Moreover, since these are all eternal workings in eternity, follow me now, get into some doctrinal positional statement that we make. All corresponding manifestations of acts flow from principles of spiritual life. As it may be said in a sound sense, that an elect may be truly and really united in Christ before the actual exercise of faith. And I know now we're getting ready to do battle, but it is evident that every union in Christ has its origin in God's eternal purpose. As he is the federal union of the elect with him from eternity, therefore, it must indeed be granted that God from eternity decreed the justification of elect sinners through Christ, so that all were decreed for justification, and because of this, you are certainly justified. It must be also granted that God from eternity entered into a covenant of grace through Christ to be our head. Amen. This all was eternally arranged. Thus, in eternity, Christ as the surety undertook for our justification in that he determined to place us as sons' position in him. It must be likewise accepted that the gift of all grace was made in Christ for us in this composition. He was our head and surety from eternity. And this is what 2 Timothy 1 and 9, when properly exegeted, actually conveys. It must be fully accepted that we are all representative union with Christ from eternity. If you do not point to eternity, there is no security. And you point to time and what we're doing in time, there is no security. Follow me now. When Christ was chosen as our head, we were chosen together in him as his members. In this light, we can, with the greatest delight and comfort, take a realistic survey of our justification in the different gradations and proper steps of it. And you know, in eternity, there is no sequencing. Oh my God. I don't have time. We'll deal with that, at least the writings of that, when you look at the document, our eternal union in Christ. God decreed our justification, and as a result, we had a representative union with him as Christ being our head and the surety. And this is the way it is, because this is the way it has always been and always will be. These are eternal acts. Now this alone establishes the sure foundation. We need to talk of the sure foundation. That's why we don't sing certain songs around here. I'm working on the building a sure foundation. No, you don't. If anything is sure, you ain't working on it. You can't work on it. No, you're not. The sure foundation cannot be overturned by the joint powers of depraved mankind, not even Satan and demons. From the beginning, we have a legal union in Christ, and we were federally justified in him through his resurrection. That's another one of the reasons that they got all mixed up. We will deal with that to understand what resurrection really means. It's not trading in an old body, amen, having that transformed or renovated into the new. No, amen. Resurrection don't mean that you come up out of the grave. Once you are separated from that body, you are never joined. And see, bad doctrine begets other bad doctrine, because when they teach it like they teach, they tell you that you got to go back in the ground and be united with your bodies to be resurrected. What nonsense. To be absent from that body is the moment, amen, you draw your last breath, you're out of there. And no more reunions with that body. But resurrection goes back, amen, to the eternal essence of what was before and what always has been. And this is what the perfect tense, past completed action with ongoing results, display, amen, that these are eternal acts that always were, amen, from eternity, that they're in time because they're decreed in eternity, and they will be when there's time no more, because eternity, amen, always has, always will exist. It has never gone anywhere, but time will leave, and time went in, but eternity is eternity. You can't even talk about security unless you say eternal. Say, do you believe in eternal security? Well, the first question, do you believe in eternity? Because everything in eternity is secure. Now, nothing in time is secure, but time is going to pass. Oh my God, look at that clock. Let me finish up here. I don't want to be as long as that other preacher. I'm just joking. But this, follow me here, is the exclusive and fundamental right to justification for those of us who are actually united in Christ in the eternal realm. Because the eternal realm is the point of his actual confirmation of the new man. All who fully internalize this concept will not abhor eternal union as an immoral conceit or plead for a real an actual union on the basis of one's perceived exercise of faith. I know we're getting into it now. But it cannot be denied there is a definite assertion of this union before faith, even an eternal union in us. There are those who deny this doctrinal concept. In fact, the majority deny this doctrinal concept. And some of you are going to be a little nervous around your friends to talk about this because you don't want to be looked at as someone who's sitting under false doctrinal teaching. And this is why we've taken the time to convey this, to get it in your spirits and your understanding that no matter where you are, you will talk about the eternal workings of Christ, including your salvation. As I said, there are those who deny this doctrinal concept as heresy and have reproached it without any exception or explanation. Such would do well to properly, as we've done, scrutinize the scriptures and explain their position utilizing the proper methodology of Bible exegesis. Those who have been enlightened in this respect should exercise great care, and this is speaking to us now who understand this thing. Those of us whom God has shed the light on this, listen to me, listen to me. Those of us who understand this, whom God has given this knowledge, we should exercise great care to be gracious. Hallelujah. To be gracious in reckoning with those who enthusiastically dissent. We must apply it to their ignorance. Now, I'm not, don't get that word ignorance. You look at that word, look at the etymology of that word. Amen. I don't know how somehow it veered off into the realm of a word that casts some aspersion of insult. You look at the etymology of that word, it is simply means lack of knowledge. No knowledge. Now, I'm not saying for you to walk out and call somebody ignorant. You might get punched in the mouth. But when we make this statement, all of those that hear this, it is not with disdain, but this statement is made, we're just saying, we're gracious because we recognize that we were once ignorant of this information and of this precious truth. So we attribute that to that lack of knowledge of this precious truth in grace. But yet, in a safe and sound sense, we must insist upon the doctrine of eternal union in the body of Christ. We must insist upon it. The Word of God, amen, basically has given us the mandate to insist upon this doctrine of eternal union in Christ. You were placed in Christ in eternity.
Glory to God. Yes, sir. Thank God.
Yes, sir. Now, as I close, for centuries, there has been, there undoubtedly will continue to be diverse sentiments concerning the doctrine of union in the body of Christ, such as how such is effectuated. That is, how is it done? How is one saved? In this, and again I'm reading our doctrinal position, we'll pray for that at least God's people are persuaded not to differ about the individuals who are united in Christ. And these are all God's elect. You're not God's elect based upon, thank God, you're not God's elect based upon what you know or don't know. Those who are elect are those who have received the nature of the union And that's it in a nutshell. In essence, it is the union of God's people unto the fullness of Christ. It is a personal union, such as the union of the divine nature in Christ, that is real, solid, substantial, and not imaginary. For it is complete and perfect. That's why it's spiritual. Because if you look at us now, no way are you going to use the terms complete and perfect.
No way.
Also, it is not gradual. There are no steps to this. It is not brought about by degrees. But it is all accomplished in one setting. And that's what justification and salvation is. Now as I come into the home stretch and close this out, this more than year-long ministering in this vein. The comprehension of the eternal workings in the new creation, and I hope we all know what new creation is now, a new man, and I hope you can appreciate the new man.
Yes.
It brings into clear focus the exceeding closeness of union that we have in Christ. In the sense of his nearness. Some of us get into problems and we feel like we're isolated from him. No. His nearness and indissolubility, of which there cannot be any separation. This is pertinent information to know in the midnight hours when the vicissitudes of life begin to beat you up and crowd you. When seemingly the things around you beginning to dissipate and fall apart, you must know that you have a relationship with him that's unaffected by the things around you.
That's right. Thank God.
It's going to be a few minutes. I'm going to go over just a few minutes there. Hallelujah. What we are and what it is most likely that we are going to differ about with many of God's people is when God's elect are united in Christ and what is the bond of our union to him. It is generally taught that God's people are not united to Christ until they believe, and that the bond of union is the Spirit on Christ's part and faith on our part. You go into just about any denomination, and there's some aspect of that. The prayer of the grace gospel ministry is that these phrases will be juxtaposed. In other words, they will be taken side by side and look at the scripture with the doctrinal contents of the gospel of the grace of God as revealed to the Apostle Paul. There's no way to get to this truth outside the boundaries of those writings. If you go back into the Old Testament and you go into the so-called gospels, the synoptic gospels, you're not going to get this information. This is the information that was here. The body of Christ was not known. I defy anyone to show me the body of Christ before you get to the writings of Paul. And I say this to all the covenant theologians. You're going to continually be confused, and whether you are a proponent of predestination and election or not, you're going to inevitably fall under the spell of syllogism as long as you seek to amalgamate the scriptures. You must draw a strong line of demarcation. You must let law be law. Kingdom law be kingdom law. And grace be grace. If you do not, you will never come to the understanding of this. You can call us dispensationalists or whatever other acronym that you can think of to try, to discredit us. But I said to you, all under, the sound of my voice, if you do not divide this Bible, you will never come to the knowledge of this truth. The message of the gospel of the grace of God, as revealed to the Apostle Paul, is the message for the grace church today. We're in the dispensation of grace. And without a thorough consideration of these writings, it is well indeed that Christ has allowed any part to share in effectuating the eternal union with him, though one should think the whole of it, the entire gamut of it, ought to be ascribed to him, since it is such an instant of eminent love and grace, as there cannot be fault to be a greater. Can there be? The answer is no. If the supreme praise is to be offered, why must this union be laden up with faith on the part of the believer? If supreme praise is given to God, why does that praise have to be for part of the work?
Come on here.
A part of the transaction.
Come on here.
Instead of all of the transaction. Why? To those who are true proponents of the grace doctrine, this mode of thinking, and I said this in love, this mode of thinking is so engrossed in the projection of self that one may suspect that something rotten in nostrils is the motive of it. But what am I saying? For those who say grace, that same grace, that name that church is grace, and yet there is some sharing of the spotlight and sharing of the praise and sharing of the growth of the glory of God with the influence of synergism on any level, even if it's passive, one may wonder, what is the motive behind it? There's something rotten in Denmark. And I'm not talking about, that's just an expression I'm using. That would cause someone to want to share the spotlight with God. How can man in the essence of time give credit and want to share the glory of what was done in eternity? Something's wrong. That's what we're saying. Thus, it would be of great benefit to God's people to ascertain the systematic documentation of the bond of union of God's elect to Christ, as it is proved to be 100% attributable to God and zero, everybody say zero.
Zero
to the believer. Excluding even the perceived exercise of your faith. You are not saved. And I didn't get a chance to read this. It's in the other document here. Amen. Doctrine of Eternal Justification. Starting on page 27 and 28. in that document, which those that are listening to this on the website, you may go to our section, Doctrine of Discourse. You go to the Doctrine of Eternal Justification. You go there and you will see, amen, the scripture point out, you are not saved. Your believing has nothing to do with you being saved. How did we put that the other night, Deacon Gavin? You got your notes? Amen. You are not saved. Here it is. Listen to this. Your faith does not produce your justification and sanctification. You're not saved because you believed. I know that's what you've been taught. Your faith is a product of your justification and salvation. You did not believe to be saved. You have believed because you were saved. God only gives the gift of faith to those who are the elect. That was determined in eternity. Last paragraph. Then we close it out. The message and both what we have conveyed to you in these 52 messages. Listen to this. The eternal mission of the Holy Spirit is evident in that God's elect in the original design of the body has from the beginning enveloped his purpose, which was established by decree to manifestly regenerate, quicken, sanctify, apply the blessings of his grace, and seal us until the day of redemption. Going to repeat this. It is evident the eternal mission of the Holy Spirit is evident in that God's elect in the original design of the body has from the beginning developed his purpose, which was established by decree to manifestly regenerate, quicken, sanctify, apply the blessings of his grace, and seal us up to the day of redemption. Finally, everybody said finally. I knew you would say that loudly. The bestowing of his several gifts and graces upon his beloved are in consequence and by virtue of a previous and prior union, an antecedent union of them in the essence of Christ. The bottom line is believers do not first receive the Spirit of Christ and then by the Spirit are united to him, but they are first united to him in eternity. And by virtue of this eternal union, have received his nature, and we are manifested, brought for the purpose of testimony. Your call, your election, your everything is in the eternal realm. And the most accurate description of such precious eternal blessing is, everybody repeat, the glorious body of Christ. The church. Give him a praise. Get, if you, oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you, amen, appreciate this body, give him a grace praise. You appreciate being in the body, amen, give him a grace praise. Oh, hallelujah. 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 The glorious body of Christ. The church. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Praise him.